God loves us so much, He helps us in the most amazing ways. Pastor Ray Bentley points to an encouraging truth.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. And again, the secret meaning of the Greek word all is all. That's exactly what it means. All things through Christ who strengthens me.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. When we become believers, in a way we go from culpability to capability. We once were to blame for our own sin that leads to death, but Jesus paid that debt and now blesses us with remarkable strength to get things done for His kingdom. And today, Pastor Ray shows us how to make ourselves available.
Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 9 through 23. The title of the message is called The Inner Secret. If you could ask the Apostle Paul, do you have some insights and some secrets that you could share with us? How to survive? Paul, you've been through a lot, been through more than we'll ever go through in our life. And yet you were always rejoicing and you were confident and you just overcame so much. How did you do it? I think he would share with us the very things we're going to read about this morning. Okay, first of all, verses 9 and 10, relaxing into the providence of God. God is at work all around you if you will only open your eyes. Verse 9, Paul says, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Not very often that you'll find a minister saying, "Hey, look at me, follow me, do what I do what I say. That which you have received from me, incorporate." But that really is the way that God designed being in His family, is learning from other brothers and sisters, learning from and looking to one another. Now, there are a variety of ways that God speaks to us and reveals Himself to us. And you say, well, what do you mean? Okay, starting off through nature, God communicates. Through nature, God reveals Himself. Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night utters knowledge." Through nature itself, you can learn a lot about the Creator. Now, what can we learn about the Creator? Well, He is extremely creative. But there is something even more personal and more intimate about God's personality that is revealed not through nature, but through people. Because there is something about God. We're made in His image, and there's something about being a human being and having personality and a mind, but also a heart and the emotions and the soul and that spiritual, intuitive reality and sensitivity, that there's nothing like the truth of God poured through personality. And Paul is saying, what you've seen in me, if you've seen anything of Jesus, what you've heard from me, what you've received from me, these things do. And the God of peace will be with you. Verse 10, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." Paul is mentioning a thank you. He's in prison, and the Philippians heard that Paul was in prison. And Paul is the one who had come and shared the gospel with them, and they got saved and planted the church there in ancient Philippi, ancient Greece. So they had a very deep affection for Paul. And now that he is in prison, they said, well, what does he need? And unlike today, we have a state prison system where the state takes the responsibility to feed and even give some medical care and other basic needs. In the ancient Roman times, the state didn't take care of the prisoners. The prisoners were on their own. And it was up to family, friends, to give you food or medicine, or in Paul's case, sometimes he wanted books brought to him. And so the Philippians, hearing about Paul, had said, "We're going to take care of you, Paul. We love you." And so they sent him these gifts. And Paul is basically saying, "Thank you, it came at just the right time." And from that, I want you to know and understand this. It's kind of an old word, providence. Providence is God working all around you through the circumstances of your life. I think I put into your notes, the word providence comes from two Latin words, pro, meaning beforehand, and video, obviously meaning to see. In other words, providence or pro video means to see beforehand. God sees beforehand the future, what will happen, what's going to happen. And it doesn't mean merely that he sees in advance what will happen as if he were a detached observer. But providence means that because God sees your future, God is involved arranging circumstances today to prepare you for what's going to happen tomorrow. God will use people, he will use nature, he will use situations, he will use your environment, he will use circumstances. And Paul recognized and shared with the believers that in fact, God is working all things together for good. Now obviously, since we're not God, we can't see always what he's doing, we don't understand it. But he says, trust me, he is. Now, look with me in verse 11. Learning to tap into the hidden resources. Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Wow. God, help us learn this lesson. Help us learn to be content. He says, I know how, or I've learned how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, the word learned in verse 12 is different from the same word in verse 11. Verse 11, Paul says, I've learned to be content. Kind of a general word meaning, I didn't know, now I've learned, now I know. Verse 12, when he says, I've learned how to be full, I've learned how to be hungry, I've learned how to have everything, and I've learned to be without or to suffer need. Different, that word learned is different. Here, learned means, quote, initiated into the secret. It is a word that was used of the ancient pagan religions, let's call them the Greek religions, with reference to their inner secrets. Paul is writing to a Gentile audience, predominantly there in Philippi. And many of them had Greek mythology, Greek religion, Greek philosophy as kind of their former way of life and thinking. And in their various religions, and by the way, there are some still today, and certain clubs or whatever, that once you are initiated into the official, you're a member, and you've been accepted, now we'll let you in on the inner secrets of our society, or the inner secrets of our club, or the inner secrets of our religion. And Paul was aware of that particular word, the initiation into the secrets. And he took that exact Greek word out of the Greek language and culture and brought it into a personal relationship with the one true living God. He goes, now let me share with you the real initiation into the inner secrets. Learn to be content, no matter where you are. I find it interesting that a lot of times, for instance, they're in the world, maybe they were raised in the church, or they went to catechism or Sunday school, and then they get away from it when they get old enough to where they don't have to go to church by themselves. They don't. They go to college and they make their own life, and perhaps God has given them a gift or an ability, and they're successful. They make a name for themselves, they build a company up, and they get all of these things. And then because God gave them the gift to be successful and so forth, and he loves them, and then he realizes that I gave them that gift, but they've used it for themselves, And so now I'm going to let it be taken away, see if I can draw them back to me. And I have seen it over and over and over and over again that people who have been very wealthy and very successful in the world, all of a sudden, a hurricane comes out of nowhere, goes from a 3 to a 5, and they've lost it all. And the next thing you know, they're ready to listen to what God has to say. And now they're going to church. And some of you, that's your story, that's your testimony. I have also seen how God doesn't, just because you become a Christian, take those gifts and talents away. He gave them to you for a reason. Now, the first time, you use them for yourself. But God, the gifts and calling are without repentance. He gave those to you. You could use them again, and God could bless you again and prosper you again. You could abound again. Only the test will be the next time that you're raised up, and the next time you are successful. Now, how will you handle that prosperity? Is it just to lift yourself up, or your name, or your reputation, or every little wish list, want toy that you have, or will you take now a more mature attitude? Hey, now I'm a Christian. Now I feel a certain sense of responsibility. I'd like to use this blessing and invest it wisely for the kingdom. Sometimes being prosperous as a child of God is as great a test as poverty. In fact, I think it's easier to be poverty because you have nothing else but the Lord. So Paul says, I've learned both. I've had it all, and I've had everything taken away. And I have learned, in whatsoever state I am in, to be content through the trials and the testings. The wonderful secret of contentment. Okay, Paul, but how did you learn it? And he gives us the answer, I believe, in verse 13. I love this verse, and I want to read it, and then I want you to memorize it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it out loud with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now you've said it. Do you believe it? I can do all things. And again, the secret meaning of the Greek word all is all. That's exactly what it means. Now, it is very clear that all of nature depends. Here, let's follow this thought for a moment of secret resources, hidden strength, which is really inner strength and peace that God wants to give to you to calm that storm. Just like Jesus. See, Jesus went into the boat with the disciples on the sea, storm tossing them. They think they're going to perish and die. But with Jesus, he rebukes the wind and the waves. They obey him. The disciples are astonished, and there's tranquility and peace. That's what Jesus is saying, I can do for you. I can calm the storms that rage inside of you. And there is a secret of how to tap into, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Great trees send down their roots into the soil to draw their minerals and nourishment and water. And it's interesting, I love trees. In fact, in the little video thing that we saw, one of the cranes, which had this big ball-looking thing, that you probably couldn't see that well. They are pulling as we're grading now, and there are gigantic old root balls of trees and boulders, some of them the size of Volkswagens, that to get it to grade so we can build on the pad, you got to remove them. And what's interesting is they're hidden until you begin to dig. So also the tree, you know, enjoy trees but what's hidden is the roots below. And so also, it is important. The most important part of a Christian's life is what is not visible on the outside. It is your hidden life with God. It is your prayer life. And I want to encourage you, and it's something that we've said before, I will say it again. I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to have every day a space of time. I won't tell you how long. It doesn't have to be long, but there needs to be a habit, a discipline, daily, of going before the Lord in prayer and waiting on him. If you will go before him, not just, you know, yes, pouring out your petitions and prayers, but just in silence, just waiting on the Lord, it's like getting filled up. And Jesus did it as an example for us, and we need to do it. Because once you have been filled with that those hidden, it's like water coming up through the roots and the minerals and the nourishment, and you are revived and ready. You're ready for the curveball that's going to come. You are ready for the storm that no one anticipated, the surprises, the twists and turns of life. You have an immediate source of inner tranquility and peace that has come from your daily time with the Lord. And it's interesting that, you know, other philosophies and religions, here's where the world is partly right and partly wrong. They say that the secret is within. And I agree that Paul is here sharing of a secret that lies within. But the answer is not in you. In fact, the answer is in us looking to the Lord. But here's the amazing thing. As I look to the risen Lord, I then experience inwardly his presence. Let me put it another way. When my eyes are on the Lord in heaven, I feel his peace, his calm, his word, his comfort, his encouragement. His word springs up within me. Courage, confidence, strength, tranquility. As you have your eyes on him, then you feel and then you experience within that peace. The part that they leave out, they're just looking in without looking to the Lord or Jesus, and you know, they go inside. And you can form a certain sense of man-made calmness, but it will always be jeopardized by outward circumstances. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5 is in your notes. Let's read this out loud together. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Took me a long time to learn that. Many painful lessons to learn that apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. And I think those two twin truths, apart from you, Lord, I can't do anything. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Boy, if you can grasp those two things, you are a rich, rich person indeed. So Paul encourages us. So take that time, begin. Just, I challenge you, practice it. Just give yourself a space of time, and you have to put it in your life, and it doesn't just happen. You have to intentionally say, okay, I'm taking, and you can begin with little doses of time, but say, this time I'm just going to wait upon the Lord. Oh, the dividends you will receive. The day will come when all you want to do is pray. The Lord will say, no, you need to go. I have work for you to do. Verse 14. Here's some great promises. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, which is the area of ancient Greece, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, another city in Greece, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Oh, I love this too. Paul's not looking for a gift per se from that. He says, oh, I'm so glad that you gave me that gift. Yes, I needed it, came at the right time. But that's not the end of it. He goes, what I'm really blessed about is that now the fruit of my apostolic ministry goes to your account. I believe that at that time, Paul knew he would be released from prison and he'd be back in his ship somewhere, going somewhere else throughout the Mediterranean and spreading the gospel throughout the Roman world. And what he's telling them is that because you cared for me and because you gave personally to me and ministered to me, every soul that I preach to and is saved, every miracle that happens, every healing of a boy or a girl, every church that is planted is fruit to your account. I've learned that God has a very, very interesting bookkeeping system. In God's bookkeeping system, your investment into his kingdom will bring fruit into your account here upon the earth as well as in heaven. In God's accounting, when the missionary on the foreign field leads someone to the Lord or plants a church or builds a hospital or starts a school or whatever that they do and accomplish, you who were the sender who gave financially and prayed for them will receive the same reward. The same fruit is all given to your account. Romans 10, Paul said, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" And Paul was saying, your gifts have made it possible for the gospel to be sent, and you will be rewarded. So there is fruit that abounds to your account. "Indeed, I have all, and I abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Paul says, as you gave to the work of the kingdom of heaven, God will make sure to take care of all your needs. That's another great promise. "Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you, and all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household." Roman soldiers, you know, got tied to, of all things, the Apostle Paul. I mean, that's going to be something. When you get to heaven and there's some Roman soldier guy, and, "How'd you get here?" "Oh, I got chained to the Apostle Paul." "What do you think, you know? And what was I going to do?" The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, wrapping up our studies in the Book of Joy, the Book of Philippians. Good insight today here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for The Inner Secret. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Mention the title, The Inner Secret. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Philippians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us see God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you The Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray as we move forward into the book of Colossians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.